What is up, people? This is episode 202, and like I teased last week, this is a it's a soft reboot. We even call it a soft reboot during the episode. But in this episode, it is me and Bender, and we do talk a lot about comic books at the beginning, and then we stray off our path like we normally do. And in the Throw It to Missy segment, we get a little bit long on arguing over one topic. In fact, as you listen to this, it may be edited it out. I put an extra ED in there. But yeah, it may be. So you might have some choppy, weird, like there's some parts missing. That's because we go an hour and 30 minutes and we spend a good 20 arguing with each other on something that we're really not opposing, on opposing sides of. So I'm probably going to cut that out, but the rest of it is going to stay intact. It's a pretty fun episode. We enjoyed ourselves for the most part. We had a handful of beers while we did it. And yeah, next week is our annual Halloween episode, our fourth annual Halloween episode with one Mike Schilling. It's going to be a fun episode with me, him, and the flop. And then after that, we're going to go back to a normal episode, our regular episode, and our five-year anniversary is coming up soon. So hopefully we can do something super special for that. Other than that, no news to report on right now. So we'll just go ahead and get to the episode. So you're going to hear a bomb, and it's going to go off here in about 3, 2, 1.
It's got COVID.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which one?
Joe.
Oh, really? Jason hasn't said anything or anything.
I think she just found out Monday. So I texted her today, asked her how she's feeling. She said it was awful.
Did you see Dean's?
Yeah, they got COVID like the next day.
Made total sense. Yeah. It was funny, though. Yeah. It wasn't, I love Dean and Joe, but it wasn't like, it wasn't very well written and clever.
No.
But it was funny and how many F-bombs he dropped.
Yeah, because it's very off-brand for him.
It really is.
He's not a cursor.
But he does not like 2020.
No.
But I'll tell you this. On that note, we will get started because, you know, 2020's been way different for all of us. And the podcast kind of, I don't know if it suffered, but we definitely took a big break. But
I'm not going to lie. I thought it was done.
Well, we are back.
We are back.
And I guess it only makes sense that if we're going to reboot the podcast, we're going to do it just me and you.
Yeah.
And it's
back to the beginning.
And it's I put on here, it's a soft reboot. It's not a real reboot. Did you listen to the tease episode?
I did.
Yeah. Does the make sense what I want
to do? It does. Yeah. It does make sense.
Because I feel like that if we focused more on one topic and didn't have, not like there was pressure for everybody to bring stuff, but I think we can get funnier conversations or more poignant conversations.
Yeah.
So that said, like I just said a while ago, we are back and it is you and I, and it is episode 202 because
is it really
gone is the pandemic.
Okay.
No, the pandemic session's gone.
Yeah, I heard.
We don't need to remind anyone COVID's a thing. So with the podcast, we're going to move on. And one of the we can just jump into the topic if you want, or if there's anything you want to bring up, like what's been going down in Bender's neighborhood.
It's dorky and we can move past it real fast, but I started a certification class for Six Sigma and Lean, and man, it's hard to dust off even for a certification, like sitting down and reading chapters for like tests and stuff is challenging when you're out of college for 15 years.
Look, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You're an old dog now.
Yeah. It's like trying to learn how to ride a bike again. It's awful, but it's going all right.
Hey, I don't know that I've ever told anybody this, and people listen to this podcast. So Hayden is super athletic.
Yeah. No, really?
Does not know how to ride a bike.
Oh, that's weird.
She just has never wanted to go try. And then when she brings it up, I go, great, let's go try. No, I don't want to.
Yeah. I've been working with Vera. She's got it. But I've gotten to the point now where I just have 3 beers and I'm lazy about it. So I just let her go.
Well, I tell Hayden, you can swim. You're a great keeper. You can do all this stuff. You like climbing. Your balance is great.
Yeah.
Go ride the goddamn bike.
Yeah. Can she ride a scooter?
Yeah.
I mean,
she's even rode a skateboard. Thing.
Yeah, if you can ride a skateboard and can't ride a bike, that's just
she's
crazy.
Literally, John, since she was 5 or 6 with training wheels, hasn't got on one since.
I guess.
I'm like, but don't you want to? And then I think Well, it's not the same world as when we were kids.
No, when we would ride around to our friends and stuff.
You don't see kids out riding bikes everywhere.
No.
Because they might get abducted or something.
I don't know what it is. I mean, are abductions up? I don't think they actually are.
Well, because even the abductors don't want to get COVID.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
But, yeah, so... And they said there was this record sale on bikes during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I don't see them anywhere.
I can't make people. Trailing,
might, I mean, I tell you what, they might have had to put traffic lights on the Katy Trail. It must be that crowded because that's the only thing I could think of. And maybe that's where people are.
We were down there and it was pretty crowded, but I'm only down there like twice a year ever. And it always seems like there's a bunch of hippies out there riding bikes.
Yeah, well, are just people that get in shape.
I just assume they're hippies. Most of them have beards.
Oh, okay. Well,
even the women. I mean,
well, let's go ahead and the other fitting thing, you being back on here, something big happened in the last week that we're going to talk about, and it's not anything that Tom would get worked up about or Missy would be very excited about, but it is something in our wheelhouse. But before we officially talk about it, I do want to ask you this because I think it's important. What is the greatest animated series of all time? Specifically a superhero animated series. Which one is it?
This is hard.
No, it's not hard.
I think it's Batman.
It's Batman the animated series, right? The greatest comic. Maybe the greatest cartoon of all time, but definitely the greatest superhero cartoon of all time. There could be an argument for Simpsons, and I'd get it, but I would also say that's a sitcom.
That's more sitcom-y. Yeah.
But a cartoon debuted this week, and the trailer for a cartoon came out.
I was going to say, it's out?
And I want to come back to that Batman animated series point here in a minute. But first, I want to tell people, we'll give people a little background on what it is. And we're talking about Invincible from Robert Kirkman.
Yep.
The comic book, also by Robert Kirkman, drawn by Ryan Ottley and Corey Walker. And you may remember that Ryan Ottley name because he drew Walking Dead for a little while as well.
Like the first...
Lots
season
of issues.
Or two.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Season, I think just the first 12 to 20 issues, something like that.
Yeah, that works.
But anyway, it was a 144 issue series, finite series, beginning and end. And we're not going to review it. I just want to tell people a little bit about it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to jump ahead and just give you my review of it. It's a 5 out of 5.
Is it? I never finished it.
I consider it, and I know, and I'm not fucking around with hyperbole and all that bullshit. I think maybe it's the best front-to-back comic or superhero story ever written.
Really?
I think it's that strong. I think it's what it did was it felt like Ultimate Spider-Man, which when it started, how awesome it was.
Uh-huh.
But it never let you down. Eventually Ultimate Spider-Man
it got a little convoluted, stale,
and then they saved it by bringing in Miles Morales and stuff, and then it got good again. But Invincible from front to back is one cohesive story that makes sense for 144 issues, and it's fucking amazing.
But they bring in other Image standalone characters, do they not?
There's
like
some
Savage Dragon.
Yeah, there's some crossover with Dragon and stuff. But very little. Yeah, very little. Because Image has always done that throughout the years. Every once in a while, especially way back in the beginning, they tried to make it a cohesive universe, and then they said, fuck all that.
Which I think is a great idea that they do it this way.
And then every once in a while they go, well, let's throw another character in there just so it seems like a universe. But and so Savage Dragon, I think there's even a panel where you see Spawn in it.
I thought so, like a
splash page or something. Mm-hmm. But it is very much it's the Kirkman universe, and he has his own universe, kind of like Mignola and stuff, the Mignolaverse and stuff like that. So Kirkman's done that. With what's that, Wolf Boy or Wolfman, and then there's another couple. They all coexist in this universe.
Yes. I didn't dig Wolfman.
It wasn't great, but it's very pulpy, very cheesy.
Who's the other guy that does his own universe? Mark Miller, right?
Millerverse. But his is a little different. Speaking of which, we'll in the throw it to Missy segment, I've got something for you there too. But anyway. Invincible. So let's tell people what Invincible is. Invincible is a comic book about a teenage boy in high school whose dad is essentially Superman.
Yep.
One day in the first 4 or 5 panels of the or pages of the comic, he's routinely or mundanely taking the trash out, and he goes to throw it in the trash, and the trash shoots up into space and doesn't come back. And there's a callback joke like 20 issues later where that bag of trash goes floating by in space.
That's funny.
But so he has superpowers. Mm-hmm. And so he's the son of Superman, who's essentially Omni-Man's his dad's name.
Yeah.
And his dad tells him, well, you're practically invincible now. And he literally starts his superheroing from there. And what's great about it is that they toe the line between being very cheesy DC style action and characters and very grounded in reality like Marvel did. You know, so like he gets a girl pregnant at an early age. His girlfriend's dealing with issues about when the more she uses her power, the more it makes her plumper. I mean, there's all kinds of cool. There's a character, and you see it in the trailer for the cartoon, who's a little girl that transforms into a big male monster. And I'll give you spoiler, halfway through the series, there's some sexual problems with that.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, it is.
See, I thought that was Savage Dragon, and I just didn't. I thought maybe they were doing like a gender swap.
No, it's that's what she does. She
okay.
And so that's kind of the back. And I don't want to give the big early spoiler, but you learn it pretty quick in comics about Omni-Man, but there's a big deal with that. And it just, the character, the ups and downs and the evolving of the characters in this series is so great. And what the series ends up becoming at the end is so great. So what I think, and I make this point here again and again, if we still played our drinking game and with Jeremy being, given hyperbole, I think the comic's so good and the cartoon animation looks so spot on. And I'm gonna run down the list of people that are starring in it with the talent, with the story, as long as they stay close to it. Man, this is going to give a run at Batman. I know this is a trailer.
So?
I think it has the ability.
Now, I think it could probably be as good, but it's not going to have the same nostalgia factor.
Well, it's not known characters, and it's not...
I'm not saying that the violence is going to skew its audience.
So it's going to be violent.
I mean, just in the trailer alone, there's a lot of blood.
Yeah, and be ready, because it gets... It's not obscene. There's no nudity in the comic. There's not a lot of language, but there is a ton of blood.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood. Yeah. Cracked skulls and...
Hey, looky here.
Hey, look at the wife.
Yep, she's
Tupac
down.
Shirt.
Yeah.
What's up?
That's almost a homemade Tupac shirt.
Like it.
But anyway, so let's... Yeah, so the... But they're right. There's some nostalgia. There was a long history of... All I'd argue, 144 issues is a pretty good, Bible to go off of. But Batman... had this very that they captured the noir side of Batman, the moodiness, and the animation was amazing.
Yeah, the gothic structures and the buildings and everything really.
But and a great voice cast. Mark Hamill. Speaking of, Mark Hamill is in this.
Is he?
Yes, he's a voice. So it's, and you're gonna recognize a lot of Walking Dead names, but Steven Yeun from Walking Dead, J.K. Simmons, Sandra Oh, Zazie Betts. Do you remember who that is? Domino from Deadpool.
Yeah, okay.
Mark Hamill, Walton Goggins, Oscar-winning Walton Goggins.
We'll put a pin in Walton Goggins.
Jason Matsukas, who's hilarious. Jillian Jacobs, Zachary Quinto, and Seth motherfucking Rogen.
Really?
Yeah, and trust me, I did like 10. There's 30 famous people, including almost Lauren Cohen, the guy that plays Morgan from everyone's in this.
So, if I'm being honest, when I watched the trailer... I didn't pick anyone else's voice out after J.K. Simmons because his voice is so distinctive and just so perfect Omni-Man.
Invincible himself is Steven Yeun.
Okay, that makes sense.
Glenn from Walking Dead.
Yeah, I can hear that. I can hear that now. But I mean, like, J.K. Simmons' voice is just so iconic.
Oh, he's an all-time great. He's the J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
He's so good at J. Jonah Jameson that he jumped from a bad Spider-Man universe to the Marvel universe.
Was it bad or okay?
Get rid of Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
And it's not great.
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but okay.
Although a live-action Into the Spider-Verse posters that I've seen with all three Spider-Mans would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was flying around Twitter yesterday.
Oh, it's just perfect.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. But anyways, J.K. Simmons, he's amazing. And he got jacked for Justice League.
Yes,
to play
Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon, and he was in the movie for like 30 seconds.
Yeah,
they might fix it in the Snyder Cut.
Just good for him to get.
I mean, he's freaking jacked.
I guess that's the move, huh? If you're going to be in a superhero movie, put on weight.
Yeah, yeah. Kumail Nanjiani or whatever.
R. Kumail Nanjiani.
God, I'm so bad at
that. It's been a while. You're rusty.
It has.
You need to polish off the mispronunciation button. He is good. I like him in general, but so. Yeah, so as long as I don't jinx it, This cartoon's going to be awesome. Now we're
and it's
waiting.
It's on Prime.
Amazon Prime. Yeah.
I thought so.
Home of the Boys.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about the boys in a little while,
I
too.
Am not very far into the season two.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Lots of twists and turns.
I'll tell you why. I'm going to throw it to Mr.
All right.
Section.
All right. Well, so one of the things I wanted to ask you, because we're going to also talk about Mike Schilling's coming on next week later, but. If you woke up tomorrow, let's just go from our lives right now. Since we're old men at mm-hmm. this point. Well, I'm old man and you're oldish.
Okay.
What if you woke up with superpowers tomorrow? What'd be the move? What would John Bender's? Okay, first off,
well, what's the power?
Well, let's go with the show. Let's go with your near Superman like powers.
Near Superman like powers. I can fly.
You could do it all, man. You can
fly around the world immediately. And then, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think I'd be a good guy. I think I'd be a bad person.
Okay, well, so this is going to be a spoiler, so I'm going to give you a countdown. 3, 2, all right, sorry, let me rephrase this. Spoiler about Invincible. Here's the countdown. 3, 2, 1. Omni-Man is the first big bad guy.
Yeah, I know.
He's dead,
yeah.
But I'm telling the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I think one common bond that you and I have, what might make us good guys, 100% our dads would be bad guys.
Yeah.
If they
yeah.
had powers.
Oh, yeah.
There'd be no
yeah.
way around
be,
it.
Yeah. I guess we'd have to go kill those guys.
My dad would be a super drug trader,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
You, who knows what your dad would be?
Yeah, probably the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, but so if we were kids, it'd be easy to be
yeah.
a superhero. There'd be the impulse to use it for self, you know, for selfish reasons.
I mean, dad's got to get paid every once in a while, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a little couple million for me and a lot of millions for you guys.
I know it's not practical in the world we live in with all technology and all this stuff, too. The idea of having a secret identity is just asinine, but let's just assume that it was possible to put mm-hmm. off. Would you do a secret identity?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I would.
To protect your loved ones, so to speak?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got a Peter Parker. Right? I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, but I would totally take care of myself first, and I don't want to be like.
Now he doesn't have X-ray vision, so you can't go around looking at naked chicks all the time.
No, I'm not going to be a creepster. Hey, I'm just going to get paid.
If you had X-ray vision, you would use it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's why nobody ever wants to be invisible, because you don't want to know what. Like, that's that whole thing about the Invisible Man. It's like, you don't want to know what you do when you don't have to look at yourself in the mirror.
Dude, first big tangent. The newest Invisible Man movie? Fucking great.
Is it? It's on HBO. I haven't watched it.
Very good movie.
Okay.
Very, not more thriller, more suspense.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a battered woman story, but
yeah, but it's
but it's bad.
Oh, it's pretty solid. I mean, yeah. There's a reason it's got like 85% yeah. Rotten Tomatoes and all that. But anyway, so yeah, so. That's why I want to take it from now, because the discussion of whether or not what we would do as kids, because kids you'd run amok for a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you'd probably narrow in and then try to use it for good. You probably would. I mean, I'm talking about
yeah, yeah. I would be a good person. Like, it's not like I'm going to run a crime ring or something. I would just, you know.
See, that's just it. I think that's overthinking it, too. There's no way I'd ever run a crime ring.
That's just
I would
much
just
work.
Burst into a bank and steal a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying. I would just take a bunch of money.
It's not very crime syndicate-y.
Like,
we're not the kingpin pulling strings here.
And the sad part is, like, life is so sad and depressing as an adult. You're like, which guys got super rich off like the economy crashing in 08 and just go steal their money, you
right.
know? Or like, which guys got super rich?
Robin Hood. You'd
yeah.
be a Robin Hood.
Yeah, go steal Jeff Bezos' money or something.
And I would give money away. I would totally do that. Oh,
second side tangent. Do you think Jeff Bezos is really trying to be Lex Luthor? Like, for real trying?
I don't know.
Because like the other day they had him online.
Sorry, a bug is attacking you.
Yeah,
literally,
he is attacking
that's
me.
Probably the government listening to what
yeah.
we would do with superpowers.
They're tapping us.
Yeah.
The other day he had him online, and he was like, had robot arms, and he had like gloves on that were powering robot arms that were like 10 feet away from him, and it was pretty creepy. And they were moving in real time together, and it was creepy.
I get why you would think Jeff Bezos, but he doesn't have the mental acuity that Lex Luthor does.
I mean, he's made $97 billion in 9 months.
By selling shit for 10 years at a loss. And losing money for 10 years and then skyrocketing in
yeah.
the last 3 or 4.
But, I mean, he's playing the long game, man.
It's Elon Musk.
Long game.
Elon Musk is Lex Luthor.
Elon Musk has got, he's got bipolar disorder. Like, he doesn't have the long game mental fortuity, I don't think.
He's digging holes everywhere.
That is true.
And think about it. Lex Luthor was a villain in a sense that he was jealous of Superman and didn't like him stealing all this glam. Lex Luthor actually wanted to save the planet and the world. He just was willing to crack every egg to do it.
That's, I think that still describes
Bezos?
Bezos to a degree. I guess maybe, yeah.
How ridiculous is it that you get a divorce, you create the richest woman in the world, and you're still the richest man in the world?
It is pretty ridiculous. I mean, she got like $60
billion. $40
billion. Is it 40?
$40 billion. She took the lump sum.
Yeah, just cash out.
Just cash out.
Anyways, we got off track.
Well, supervillains is pretty straightforward. Yeah. So here's my thought. Here's where I think it gets go down a dark hole here. I got to tell you, with the exception of the weird incest and stuff like that, it's not hard. It's not far fetched to think we'd be turned into Homelander. Worried about your image. Want to control everything with an iron fist.
Dictatorship is
boredom would call for very impulsive behavior.
Yeah, it's like that. It's a Harvey Dent's line: "Live long enough to die as a hero, or live long enough to become the enemy, or however he says it. I forget." But anyways, where would your lair be? Volcano layer, right?
Where would my
sure.
A volcano layer? Well, no, because then you're always having to replace shit. If it erupt, you'd lose. Well, that's a good question.
Underwater?
Superman went for the Fortress of Solitude. I don't think I'm smart enough to make an underwater place work. You know what I mean?
I mean, you could steal some people.
I'm walking that fine line.
I tell you what you do, the move is to make your lair in city or mountain or something like that, nowhere near where your everyday life is. So we would just 100%. Zoom out of here and fly away. Our getaway would be, you know, like I'd almost pick a really wooded area that's
like Oregon type Canada,
something
type
like
thing.
That. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, where there's
just take Iceland. I mean, nobody's looking.
Wackadoodles up. We tried to buy it once, didn't we?
I think Trump did.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, have you met anyone from Iceland?
No, but they're full of fucking Vikings, man. They're toughest and most Nordic, big, scary people
I mean,
on the planet.
I get it, but I mean...
But you're a superhero.
Yeah.
You're a superhero. What would you... Okay, here's my next question. And this one cracks me up. First off, two questions. Would you tell your friends that you had superpowers? I'd tell you.
Yeah, you'd know.
I wouldn't tell.
See, here's the thing, though.
I'm a
chatty bitch. You should not tell me.
You're pretty good with. I wouldn't. I would tell Hal Pow. I'd tell Dwayne. It's very tough, though. Because I know a few people that would want to just let people know that they know the big superhero.
How far down the line does your wife know? Is she first in line to know? She's not going to listen.
No. That was the other question. How much bitching at you would Rachel do? You're going to go off and fight fucking crime again? 100%. Yeah. You would, your first...
My best bet would be like to throw one of the kids into space, go beat whoever it's up.
Now you're killing your kids.
No. Just put them in a bubble.
Oh, okay.
And then by the time it lands, get back and catch them.
So now with your superhero powers and abducting these underwater people...
multitasking.
You're abducting space NASA engineers to get you a bubble that you can fling up into space.
How do you know that with super strength doesn't come like super mind abilities to maybe I could
well first off
hold
when
them
you
in des- there
describe it as super mind abilities
yeah.
not a strong
yeah, that's
start
true. That's true. Maybe I could psychically hold them into a force field with my
inventing power, so you're like you're like Robin Williams' genie is what you are. You just do whatever you want,
whatever it takes. What would be your if you got to pick one?
Oh, so if I don't get like Superman's ability, if I
if you got to pick one.
Well,
practical wise,
and I think that this would probably drive you insane. But it would the two people that I think have the most practical, awesome powers would be Professor X, because but you'd have to have it to the level at which he does.
Yeah,
because he can just do. I mean, you know, you can't be your everyday run of the mill.
Able to stop time.
Just read my wife's mind because she's in range is not good enough. You got to be able to read the minds of everyone. But I think that'd drive you insane.
I think that is a clear path for dictatorship to like be able to manipulate.
You even by accident or on purpose. I don't think you want to know what everybody's thinking. I think that's a bad move.
Yeah.
Which leads me to the other one. I think having the level of magnetism ability that Magneto has makes you pretty goddamn unstoppable.
I think so.
I'm going to tell you this before you say it. Sometimes I'm driving down the road when traffic's annoying me, and I wish I was Magneto and I could just do the thing.
Yeah.
Or like I see someone doing something annoying, and they're like on a near a fence, and I think I just wrap them up real quick and roll them down the hill.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so again, supervillain. That's which way we're leading.
Yeah, totally. I think 99% of the people would be supervillains. Like honestly, or at least like walk fine line.
We are if. Modern politics and COVID has taught us anything. We are a very impulsively bad group of people.
Yeah, selfish people.
Yeah, and it's gotten worse.
Yeah. I would do, I think, super speed, but with the caveat that you got to be able to turn it off. Because if you're always moving at another pace of everybody else, like just having normal conversations is going to drive you insane. Because everything's so slow.
One thing Mark Waid introduced into, which if you've never read Mark Waid's run on Flash, which was epically long, it was brilliant. He brought in the Speed Force, which he created the Speed Force because he had to make it. Because the fact that if you could run super fast, there's a lot of problems that come with that.
Like, yeah.
The first time you pick someone up to run, you kill them.
Yeah. And all your clothes would burn off all the time.
Clothes burn off all the time, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of problems that come with that, being able to run super. Like, you don't want to be, like, flash fast, but you want to be, like, say you run, like, 75, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, where that's don't need a car.
Yeah,
that'd be
cool. Pretty
cool. But, I mean, if you can't do that, I guess teleportation would be the most practical in the world. Like,
I'm listening. I'm going to murder
you just, some fucking stink bugs that just won't go away. He's up there, man.
This bug is amazing.
He's in there. We got him.
I think you
got him.
I heard a crunch.
You got him. He squished him.
Yeah, I think I heard a crunch. Now he's up there. He's going to fall on me in pieces.
Yep.
It's going to be like, it's a good thing it's October because
it's
going to
land in your mouth. Now you're definitely getting COVID.
Horror movie of bug parts falling on me. Yep. Anyway,
but otherwise, I think it would be teleportation. Because, I mean, like, that's the most practical. I mean, being super strong is cool, but we're old. So what are we going to do? Go be UFC fighters?
Remember the movie Jumper?
Yeah, that movie sucked. But, I mean, the idea was good.
It sucks because Hayden Christensen's an awful actor. But I've watched it a handful of times, probably 10, way more than I should.
Yeah, that's a lot more than you should.
As it comes on TV, if I've got nothing going on, I've watched it. It's not as bad as you think. It's
a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, jump in, steal some shit, jump out.
It completely was intended to be a franchise that never paid off.
Yeah, I mean... They got Samuel L. Jackson with that crazy white hair.
Remember the movie Push? That was another one. That wasn't a bad movie.
It wasn't a bad movie. Terrible comic. I bought the comic because of the book. And
because
the
comic, of the movie.
The movie, yeah. And the comic was just terrible.
Mm. Well, and that movie also is what, I don't know that there's a Guinness Book entry, but has helped Chris Evans be the most prolific comic book actor of all time.
He's been in like, Losers,
Fantastic Four,
Captain America,
obviously. What? But I think there's more than that. I think there's five. I think he's had
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, yep. That's right. There's five. So yeah, he's had a hell of a run as a superhero.
Plus,
actor.
Apparently, his penis is its own superhero.
Yeah, he put that shadow out there.
Yeah, I don't think he was a shadow. I think it was the actual thing.
I've never seen it.
I didn't see it either.
I don't think
whatever.
It was like...
Good for him, man.
I'm pretty sure by listening to other podcasts that it wasn't full on, so you could tell everything. I think it was
a screenshot of a bunch of pictures on his phone on accident.
And the dong was one of them.
Yeah, something.
Okay. I hear it's got its own Instagram account.
Yeah, good for him.
OnlyFans account.
Yeah, man. That's...
Tyga? You know the rapper Tyga or whatever?
Is that a girl?
No, it's a guy.
Is it?
He dated a Kardashian, I think, or a Jenner. You know, the younger, I think. I could be wrong.
You're probably right.
He put, and I did see this picture because of watching podcasts, listen to podcasts, and you had to know. He gave his OnlyFans typically is just a bunch of teasing, apparently, with real celebrities.
But they make so much money.
Yeah, a ton of money. Well, he's like, hey, you're paying the $25, $50, $100, whatever a month. He gave them the full staff.
Really?
He gave them, completely standing at attention.
Like, guys can make money on that, too?
Yeah.
Really?
And he was, listen, you don't share dick pics unless you are proud of your dick pic.
Oh, yeah. Well, did you see that? We were in the downtime, but Bella Thorne
got ripped everyone
off. Charging a bunch of money. And
she told them she was going to be nude, and then she's not doing nude.
Well, she said, I'm not doing nude, and then she said she was going to do nude, raised $2 million, and didn't do nude.
They capped how much it could be, and they also delayed the payouts now.
Yeah, it's a normal...
Because they used to pay weekly.
Yeah, it's a normal ladies that were doing it. Yeah. Which, good for whoever makes money on that.
Bella Thorne fucked it up for everybody. Yeah,
but, like, my question is...
Shave your armpits. That's all I'm saying.
That's true, but, like, why are you paying for that?
Like, think of how many perverts, you know. I got a good story on that.
Have you gone through Pornhub? Like, the whole thing?
Yeah. You could find...
I'll take... Something. I got a couple of Pilsners over there somewhere. All right, I'll take that. I don't care. But have you gone through, like, the whole Pornhub? Like, that you have to pay for whatever?
People do that, too, man.
I guess there's a lot of loan. I mean, whatever. It's better than, being a serial killer.
So I guess because of the... Well, I've got two stories for you. And one story is going to tell you exactly why these people make money. But I guess...
And I'm not knocking the people making money. Good for them.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what people they're preying on. But the Pornhub thing, I guess, top of your head, free videos. I'm sure we could Google this to tell, but I'm guessing there's probably 500,000 clips on there. Do you get a million and a half if you do the premium? I mean, what is the difference? You know?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, do you need 45 minutes of whatever sex scene's going on?
If you're doing it right by yourself, you need 4 or 5 good minutes.
Yeah.
So
but then I'm tired.
So speaking of, you're like, what? I mean, why? What people are paying for this? I'm not going to name any names because I don't even know the guy's name, but it was a very good friend of mine. My buddy Hal Pow would laugh if he knew this story because they're from a certain part of the world. All of his, he was a very good friend of mine in college.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his real close friends that grew up in the town with them, me and my buddy Hal Pow would just say, man, there's just something off about the people from that town. And anytime something weird would happen, we'd say, hey, they must be from there. One of his buddies was a massive Tara Lipinski fan, the ice skater,
yeah.
Tara Lipinski,
yeah.
The U.S. women's skating team. So much so that he would send her birthday presents on her birthday, like...
Yeah, serial killer shit.
Yes, yeah. But he never was a serial killer, but he was so into...
Yet.
Maybe now he is. I don't... Or not convicted.
Yeah.
Not accused.
Yet caught.
But I think... And he was... I'm shit you not, man. He was a cool dude to hang out with and go drinking with and party. And, you know, he wasn't awkward around women. But he was...
Obsessed
with Tara Lipinski.
That's
so think
weird.
About that. Think of how many guys out there now in the world we live in are like, hey, $100 and I get to see her do nudies?
But that's, that makes sense for like a Bella Thorne, but most of the women that are on there making money are like strippers and stuff, yeah, I think.
I think they're hot.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not hot, and that's not what I'm saying.
But I think that's literally the only thing you need as a woman in order to make money.
No, and I 100% agree, but again, Pornhub is free for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. But
I mean, for your basic needs, it's
but
free.
I guess some of these women on OnlyFans are not doing, don't have stuff on Pornhub. But I guess some of them do. I don't
know. And I've never been, and I'm not going. But I guess the other thing is they're probably making a lot of money now because strip clubs are probably pretty dead at this point. And
you would think. Well, except for ones with good wings.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just common sense.
Yeah. I mean, $3 steaks is not going to turn anyone. People are still going to show up for that.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, like, there are a lot. Like, I've been to strip clubs in a sober part of the night where I remember guys like being super into one girl or another,
yeah.
and then feeding them along. And I get it. I mean, she's making money and he's getting attention. So there's a mutual benefit to that, but it's also kind of like.
Did I ever tell you about...
I guess it's companionship. I don't know.
Did I ever tell you... So, where we used to play softball in Springfield, called Summers at the River. I don't know if that's still the name, but it was our Aussies or whatever down there.
Yeah.
And they had a pretty awesome bar with a deck on top and a pool. It was a very, very... If you're in your early 20s playing softball, it was the play. I mean, I was there... I played 12 games a week when I was younger. And I was there 4 or 5 nights out of the week. And what was good about it... It's not only were you there playing softball, but you could get a good drunk on, you could get some good food, bar food, you could meet girls, And if you were having a rough night doing any of those things, you could always just like walk right across the street to the strip club. And I can't even think of the name of it.
Right across the street.
Right across the street.
There you go.
And so much so, and one of my good buddies, who I've named many times in this episode so far, but I'm not going to say it out loud in case his wife should ever hear this.
Maybe just put a disclaimer in the front.
When he would come visit, and he really didn't like our softball, but he would walk his little ass right over there all the time while we were playing softball. So much so that we became good enough friends that there would sometimes be the strippers at the bar.
Yeah.
Well, one night, we're over there. We're at the strip club, and the girl is doing her thing. Not hitting on me, but for lack of a better term, she's hitting on me to get her,
money.
To make money.
She's doing her job.
And I throw out the ultimate creeper question of, hey, where do you live? And you could see the pale look on her face, and you could hear the record skip. And I go, oh, yeah, that's a creepy question. But I'm almost positive we're neighbors. And I'll be goddamn, we were neighbors.
Yep.
Like, not just neighbors, but, like, literally right next door to each other. When I would leave to go to work in the morning, she was coming home from work in the morning.
Nice.
Like, yeah.
I had a similar – so I worked at Schnucks, which is a local grocery chain all through high school and college. And I had an ID that said I was 21 before I was. When this lady used to come into Schnucks for years, and she was always dressed to the nines, and she'd shop on Sunday – late morning, early afternoons, and she'd still be dressed to the nines and always paid in ones. And was like, oh, she's definitely a stripper, blah, blah, blah. And we were at an East Side establishment one night, me and a couple of the guys that we worked with, and she was there. And she put on a very good show, and I never saw her again.
Never set foot in our store again.
Which
I felt kind of bad. Like, it's not like I was going to be a dick about it.
That's like what happens in real life, unlike what happened in Varsity Blues with the teacher, and then she becomes their best buddy.
It did not happen that way.
Also, the last time I lived in Springfield was when I lived with Carter and John Shannon. And we had this fucking awesome house, dude.
Yeah.
The ultimate bachelor pad. Four levels, technically.
It's 7 PlayStations.
You came in the 4 bedrooms. You came in the main floor, and you could go down, like, you could either, it's split level, but the split level was a split level downstairs to a family room that led into a sunroom where we put our ping pong table.
Oh, cool.
Or you could go upstairs to the 4 bedrooms.
Yeah.
And then there was a finished basement all the way downstairs.
Okay.
And awesome. And what was cool is that...
Cooler than your current house. And my current house.
It was... Dude, the best bachelor pad, and it had a back deck, and that led to where there used to be a round swimming pool, above ground pool. They took it out, but below it was sand, so essentially it was a big circle sand pit, which made for the ultimate wrestling ring.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you guys wrestled on Sundays, right?
We just drank and burned stuff in it and stuff like that. I mean, think it was like living on a beach for fires, but so it was a little, it was like one of those like faux cul-de-sacs, and the reason I say that is like, the road turned, and then you just branched off, and there was this little cul-de-sac, but it really wasn't at the end
kind of like a little mini roundabout thing.
So, but the right across the street from us, or the cul-de-sac, was also a stripper. Now, this girl that lived next to me in Nixa was very pretty in daylight. This girl that lived right across the street from me, because we didn't know she was a stripper. She lived with her family, too, but one of my buddies named Aaron Stanton, who was a bartender down in Springfield and also was a bartender at the strip club, he goes, hey, that's so-and-so. He opened the front door. He's like, he starts talking to her. She comes over, gives him a hug, hangs out with us, have some beers. She, you know, goes on her way. I go, who the fuck is that? He goes, oh, she's a stripper at that club I work at. And I was like, whoa, those lights. He goes, yeah, those lights do what? You don't see the imperfections in the dark light.
Red light makes you look good.
Side note, one morning I were sitting in there eating a bowl of cereal, watching fucking TV or whatever, and her car is parked out in front of her house. We hear, we look outside. Here comes another car driven by a woman. Wham! Backs it up in reverse. Wham! Hits it again. Gets out, goes, fuck you! God, coming near my man, blah, blah, blah. Wham! Hits it again and then takes off.
Holy shit.
I was like, and we lived in it was a pretty nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say she fucked her man.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, and apparently the other girl, I wonder if she borrowed a car, or somebody had a car that they were scrapping, because she did not care about her car, and she rammed it three times. And asked Carter or John, I can't remember who it was, he goes, I can't fucking believe that happened. I go, that's insane. And he goes, well, gotta go to work.
Yep. Well, it's gonna be a long day today.
She never came out of her house. Right. I sat there because I was working at a sporting goods store at the time, and I didn't have to go in until like 3 or 4 that afternoon. I waited for her to come out. Never came out of her house. It was clear that they ran. Everyone in the neighborhood came out except for their house.
I mean, I'm not going to draw attention to that. I work at night.
Yeah.
Maybe she's a vampire.
Yeah, or maybe. No, I saw her in daylight.
She had a lot of sunscreen on.
Yeah, so I guess, but, you know, we did a good job of talking about Invincible. We did a good
job. I am super pumped. If we're going to circle back around and finish it off, cartoon-wise, it looks like the Spectacular Spider-Man on Disney Plus, except for the lots of violence and gore.
Yeah, it does a good job of being close to what the comic looked like without, because you're not going to get all that detail and stuff. But
no,
yeah.
And it looks very good and it looks entertaining. And you don't get a whole lot in this.
The anticipation meter is off the charts for me. So we'll put a nice bow on that, and we'll move on to the Throw It to Missy segment, where I'm sure we've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
I thought we were doing the Bill Burr thing.
Well,
we were doing all that.
That was the first thing I was going to bring up in the Throw It to Missy. Is my lead-in was woke culture is still hanging in there by thread, man.
Yeah.
They're doing their best.
Yeah, we're trying.
So I told you I wanted to talk about Bill Burr's SNL monologue.
Yes.
Did you have a chance to watch it?
I did. I watched it twice.
We watched it live.
I did not watch it live.
What'd you think, first off? Before we get into
the
controversy.
Out of the gate, I knew what...
It's Bill Burr.
I knew
what
I was getting going in.
It's fucking Bill Burr.
Now, out of the gate, honest, I thought he was gonna... Because he's been trying to break into Hollywood a little bit. He was in The Mandalorian last year. He did that Kings of Staten Island. Yep. I thought he was gonna tone it down. But no, he went full Bill Burr, and I respect that 100%.
He went full Bill Burr on network television.
And I 100% respect that.
You get what you get. What do people think like when you get Bill Burr on SNL? By the way, let's talk about the joke. Essentially, the joke that got all the flack was he was talking about Pride Month and how...
I'll let you finish.
Well, he was talking about Pride Month, and then he made a joke, and I'm not going to step on his punchline or anything, but he made a joke about how black people had been enslaved for decades, and they got the shortest month out of the year.
And coldest.
Yeah, it's a funny joke.
It's very funny.
It is a super funny joke, and that's exactly what it is. It's a joke. And there's a bunch of other jokes in there that got him, but that's the one that typically, that's the one they lead in with.
So here's what I wrote down. Because I watched it yesterday and then I rewatched it today. I said, funny, risky, very on brand for Bill Burr.
Bill Burr, yeah.
And then I wrote, my only issue is Rick Moranis. That's a low blow, man.
Yeah.
Low blow.
Rick Moranis is America's sweetheart or America's grandpa now.
Yeah.
But.
Like, he just did that. He just did that commercial with Ryan Reynolds. He's never coming out of his house now. Come on. We're never getting that sequel to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
But
for those that don't know, Rick Moranis was randomly socked in the face by a dude. For seemingly no reason. The dude didn't rob him. The dude didn't have beef with him. It was caught on camera. He just smoked him hard enough that he had to go to the hospital.
And the guy, was a normal, like, size guy. And by, like, I could see on TV, Rick Moranis is 5'2".
Oh, he's the littlest guy. How Hollywood makes you look taller, and he's already short in Hollywood.
So that sucks. But, I mean, that was my only thing where I was like, but my favorite thing that he wrote, was the Matrix reference to the Gay Pride Month thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was like, you know, when your face is up against the glass, and you pull out, and then you're like, two guys kissing, zero body. Like, that was fucking funny.
Funny. It's hilarious.
And... the cancel culture thing, it felt kind of flat. I thought he did a good job with white women. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, how they've simply sabotaged the...
Me Too movement. Or the
woke movement.
Woke movement. He's like, sit down and take your talking to like the rest of the white men. It was good, and it was on brand, and it was him.
For those that don't know, Bill, not that anything gives you a license to do what... The only license Bill Burr has or needs is that he's a fucking stand-up comic.
Yeah.
But he also is married to... And has kids with a black woman.
Yeah. And if you've ever listened to any of his other stand-up, it's 100% what he does all the time.
He's Bostonian, and yeah. that means he's blunt.
And I would say, and I kind of, well, I was looking through this, and I think the best way to describe him is he's a toxic male who's trying to do better. Like, he understands that he's got some crass jokes and things, but like...
See, I don't agree that he's toxic. I agree that he's... I agree that...
He makes his bones in the toxic male masculinity type thing, but he's not actually a toxic male, I would say.
Like, yeah,
I
think, he's not at all. In fact, I don't even think his comedy is. I think it's very...
blunt.
It's very blunt. I mean, he's a guy...
And that's what comedy's yeah. supposed to be.
And comedy's supposed to make no apologies. Like we said, the moment everything can't be funny, then everything is funny.
Like his... Like, if anything, like, what I think everybody missed is his comments on, like, John Wayne and, like, the Playboy interview and
exactly.
canceling. Like,
and he's always done rap, that.
And he probably should have, if you were going to give him a critique, and I'm not a comedian, I'm not funny in any way, shape, or form, obviously, from this podcast, but maybe he should have put that at the end, you know, to wrap it all around it. I don't know. But either way.
Or people should go watch his 1 hour stand-up
yeah.
when he's given better, more yeah. than 5 minutes to do it, you know?
I think that there was an equal... I don't think it was as big of a deal as everybody made it out to be. Like, it seemed like they were going to make it out to be. There was a lot of comments on both sides of, what were you expecting when you put Bill Burr on TV? And he's funny. And then if you went into the episode, I don't know if you watched any more of the episode.
The Sam Adams sketch was my favorite.
Yeah, I saw that one online. I didn't watch every single...
I didn't get to... I fell asleep. I watched Jack White's performance, who slayed it.
Yeah, I agree. But did you see the one where he is basically... I forget the sports guys, where he was the white sportscaster.
Yeah.
And like, that was a pretty funny skit on like a serious issue and like... made you think and also at the same time was funny and makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's Bill Burr wrapped up in a solid SNL skit.
And that's where comedy should
exactly.
take you. It should not always, because there's a good there's room for, you know, yeah. blue comics, there's room for clean comics. But there certainly should be room for you if that's where you want to go with your night to watch yeah. comedy, you should be allowed to.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's if you go back, like, Blazing Saddles would never be made today.
Written by a black guy and a Jew.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor and Mel Brooks wrote that.
Never be written, made today. Like, even American Pie, which apparently there's, like, a girl version of American Pie.
Dude, there's 120 versions of American Pie.
Is there?
Oh, dude, there's so many.
Okay. But either way, American yeah. Pie, never getting made today.
Just go on your IMDBs and type in American Pie and see the chaos.
Really?
That comes from that.
I just saw like a commercial pop up on
yeah,
Netflix.
This is like their newest one where they're flipping the script, but
yeah.
there's been some others.
And I was like, oh, maybe this will... No, it's going to be terrible.
Go on down your list and we'll wrap up.
All right. On my list to throw it to Missy stuff, have you watched Lovecraft Country?
I have not. We got rid of HBO.
Oh, you should get it back. It's pretty good. Just wait.
And I also want to get Showtime again, but I just... Yeah.
So don't do Lovecraft Country yet. I want to see if it's going to come back for a second season. So I tried reading the book, and the book is all over the fucking place. Like, it was extremely hard to follow. Like, it's a good story. The elevator pitch is, it's 1955. There's a black guy whose great ancestor...
based on a book.
Yeah, was a slave slash had a kid with a slave owner who was also a magician wizard guy. He's got magic blood. This white racist group of magicians needs his blood to become immortal. But like, all kinds of crazy shit happens in between. And it is a wild fucking show.
I want to watch it.
I want to watch it. Mind-boggling episodes, like jumping from like space-time continuum, like seeing multiple universes, to girls being haunted by fucking little jigaboo dancing black chicks from the old timey dime novels.
Jigaboo dancing.
That's the name of the episode, Jigaboo. And it's like that. It's that stereotypical drawing in like the 20s of like a black girl with buckwheat style hair.
Yeah.
And being haunted by like demons, and it is fucking wild. And I love it.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I haven't watched it.
So next episode is the last episode, and this previous episode, and HBO's done this twice in 1 year, and I thought it was pretty amazing, and I like it in the fact that I didn't know anything about this, and I feel like I should, most people should, but they dealt with Tulsa, the killing of Black Wall Street in Tulsa.
Oh, yeah.
And The Watchmen did a brutal, like, you don't really know any of the characters in that. And then this show did a time jump episode where some of the people go back that survived it and you see, like, their reactions as kids. And it is hard and, like, gut-wrenching to watch. And there is a fire scene that lasts for a solid minute that just makes your skin crawl. Like, and it's a good...
And how many seasons is it? Is it just the first or
Lovecraft
is it two?
Country is just one season so far. And I would assume they're going to do more.
It feels like it's been around a long time because the trailers and stuff started for like 2 years.
Yeah. And it's Jordan Peele, J.J. Abrams. It's very well... The monsters are very much J.J. Abrams's. The weirdness is very much Jordan Peele's.
It stars Journey Smollett.
Journey Smollett, which is Jesse Smollett's brother.
Jussie
Smollett. Yeah,
that is... the sister, it's a girl.
Oh, yeah. The other way around.
That's why I was wondering if that was really related to her. I wonder how she feels about her brother.
Yeah, and she's been in shows and movies, apparently, since she was a kid.
She's been in all kinds
of
stuff.
But what's the son? He was in The Five Blood, or the boy, Atticus. His name's John...
Majors?
Yes. Great actor. And there's a thing that they do in the show, and I love it. They give him... When he reads, he has to wear glasses. And it's a small thing. But... It's such a defining characteristic for him. Like, he's always reading to, like, figure something out, and then, like, shit will pop off, and the way he rips the glasses, like, every fucking time. Like, it's just, like, oh, shit's about to get real. He ripped the glasses off. And he just does such a good job of it. But it's a fun show, and I fucking love it.
Yeah. By the way, and not an original topic of Throw It to Missy, but speaking of reading glasses, I'll be 43 in a few weeks.
You need them?
I just got a prescription for reading glasses.
Ah,
you
old bastard. You know,
they said my
Your eyes have caught up with the beard.
Yeah. It really made me feel old. Had a rough week this week because of it. I think my softball suffered. I think everything. I just felt like I'm aging.
Can you do the bald head, big beard, and glasses? Who does that?
I took a picture. It looked good.
Steve Agee? But he's not bald.
Steve
Agee?
No, Agee. He's not. I think he has
Usually
hair.
Has hair.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like a big guy.
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll be the first. Maybe I'll be a trendsetter.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think you're getting... I mean, you look genuinely bald up top, so...
Oh, no. I feel... I touch the back of my head, and there's a spot where, like, I grow enough hair for it to be ugly.
Yeah.
But, like, now... Like, if I were, like, more bald, I'd let my hair grow out a little bit. Yeah, like Ed Harris.
Yeah.
Like, Ed Harris looked cool. Like a, like a Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
It's patchy in the wrong spots.
No, I get it.
Yeah. It's not a horseshoe shape. It's like a foot.
No, I get
shape.
It, man. Like, patchy in the wrong spots is my whole facial hair expression.
Yeah, you can't grow facial hair. We've established
like,
that.
Even if I could just get all of my sad chin hairs to like migrate up to my mustache area, I'd have like an all right mustache like once or twice a year.
We're not going to talk about The Boys since you haven't caught up on it. And then, man.
Let's touch on, did you watch Vampire in the Bronx?
No, we haven't
versus
not yet.
The Bronx.
We're gonna
watch it.
We're going to because we so
it's a good family.
I'm gonna bring this up next week, so this will be a little redundant for people that listen because of Shilling next week. I made a promise to Missy that we'd do 31 scary movies in the month of October.
I listened. I heard.
And there's a couple that we were gonna do as a family. Quote, you know, using the word scary movies, loose term, Halloween themed movies. So we're gonna watch the Hubie Halloween, which Hayden watched on her own. The Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah, I haven't watched... I
hadn't watched that on her own, so now we're off the hook there.
Oh, thank God.
But I watched the trailer for Vampires vs. the Bronx, and that looked pretty good.
It's not bad.
We're going to watch it. Attack the Block, only with vampires?
No, it's not that good.
And not John Boyega?
It's Monster Squad. But
I love Monster Squad. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I mean, it's got an underlying message that is annoying.
Couldn't pull off Monster Squad this day and age.
No. But it's not Attack the Block is way better. But it's fun. It's a good time.
We did do Shudder. We've now paid for Shudder, and we watched Summer of 84.
Okay.
I think you dig that as a scary movie.
Okay.
It's very much, it came out around season two of Stranger Things, and we really wanted to capture.
Is it a show or a movie?
It's a movie.
Okay.
They really wanted to capture what made Stranger Things great. So
a lot of synthesizers?
Yeah, and it's literally the summer of 84, and there's a serial killer in this town, and I tell you what, man, it's done well. The kids are good in it. The main bad guy's good in it, and the ending.
Oh, okay.
And the ending... not what you want. I mean, you know how at scary movies where the there's the one last scare or the bad guy's not really dead.
The little jump scene.
Not that the bad guy's not really dead. This is a spoiler warning, but he uncomfortably lives.
Oh, really?
Like, uncomfortably lives with a message, and you're like, ooh, now I feel even dirtier or worse for having watched it. I only brought up one more thing.
Go for it.
And I throw it to Missy, and it's let's do this real quick. We don't have to do this very long, but let's talk about. I put the COVID immersed sports are ending. Not talking about the NFL because NFL actually learned how to start after sports had. What I'm talking about in particular is MLB is coming to an end with the World Series.
NBA just ended.
And the last two series have been in a bubble. The LCS and the World Series are in a bubble. NBA just ended with the Lakers winning their record tying 17th title. NHL saw the Tampa Bay Lightning win, which I didn't know. They lifted Lord Stanley's Cup. I'd forgot. I mean, I just, after the Blues were out, it was like.
Yeah,
our hometown boy, Pat Maroon.
Yeah, Maroon got two in a row. They're good for him.
What I want to know is the question I'm going to do. We don't typically ask questions and throw it to Missy, but do you think, for better or worse, do you think history's going to put an asterisk on these COVID championships?
This is more of a time question.
How about this?
I don't think so.
Knee jerk, easier or harder to win a championship with the COVID?
I think it's harder.
I think for sure the MLB was the harder. I think the NBA was harder.
Yeah, the NBA was 100% harder.
And I think the NHL
was harder.
I think the NHL might be the one that might had it easier because NHL is such a physical sport. They got rid of traveling. They got rid of all of the things.
Oh, you're talking about overall.
I'm just in general.
Okay.
The reason I think the MLB gets harder because they added more teams, shorter series, no days off.
Yeah.
That's harder.
I 100% agree.
NBA, I do think they took away travel, but I think the mental taxation of playing everyone being locked in a bubble against the teams you're playing against.
Literally
drive you crazy.
NBA locked it down hard.
And Orlando is a paradise. Disney is a paradise. Still going to drive you crazy.
You couldn't even get food delivered.
You couldn't sleep with your side chick.
No.
You couldn't do any of that.
Did you watch the Chris Rock episode of the season opener of SNL?
No, I didn't.
They did a side chick draft.
That's with awesome.
It's funny. Like, it was a solid fucking
Chris Rock's another guy.
Yeah.
Get what you get, which is hilarity.
Yeah.
But with I think with NHL, you still were kind of in a bubble. They were only doing two cities, but I think not that they still had the normal days off and stuff. I still think the NHL is the hardest sport to win a championship in.
Yeah.
But it
swings so much in that.
I just think that this year, I think people are going to say, 60-game season for MLB. You know, people are going to say, with NBA.
But, I mean, look at the Cardinals. I mean, they were out, but they played doubleheaders for, 2 weeks.
12 out of 40 days,
doubleheaders.
Yeah,
That's hard.
Yeah, and not to say that they didn't bring it on themselves, but they still made the playoffs. They still played well in the playoffs.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that the players who sat out, and I'm not a sports guy, so I don't really care. Do you think the players who sat out, that's going to be an asterisk on their legacies if they move on past 2021?
No, I don't think it'll be an asterisk. The only reason I think it is because I think fans will look at the players that sat out and say they fucked their stats.
Yeah.
And that's it. And to be honest with you, there are some stars, but there was no superstars that sat out.
Yeah.
No LeBron James made a stand.
No.
You know, no.
Was there anybody in the NBA that sat out? I don't even know.
I think the NBA did it better than everyone.
I think they did. Like, they literally had zero COVID cases.
And I think the NFL is.
They're doing better than I thought.
In terms of, is it easier or harder? I think the NFL absolutely is harder with COVID because of how they've moved these games and how that's strained on the players.
And they're traveling.
Weird. There's a lot of things. NFL is the hardest sport in the world.
Was it Bills last week Bills this week that have less than 5 days off or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I mean, because of the moving of the games. It's just Bills played last night. They play again now. They moved their Sunday game to Monday or something like that.
Yeah, like it's just
no Thursday to Tuesday games. But
do you think maybe they should have just gotten rid of Thursday night football together?
Oh, they should have done that a long time ago. Players hate Thursday night football.
I agree, but
I made this argument to someone last night actually at soccer practice. I can only tell you from the football that I've had experience with. In the NFL, I can only think, I would argue that one NFL game should take you about a month or two to recover from.
Yeah.
And to do a Sunday to Thursday is, I mean, at least the bare minimum, if you play a real hard Sunday game, players typically don't come back to practice till Tuesday light, Wednesday back at it. You're saying, okay, now you got to get ready for your game tomorrow. That's insane.
Yeah, it is. It's too much. And like,
it's all ratings, and the ratings suck.
Yeah.
For the Thursday night game. Because
you can't tell me that NBC wouldn't be chomping at the bit for like a 3 o'clock game on Sunday. Like Thursday night game. Because it's like, if you're just doing network TV, it's 2-4, have the 12 and 3 o'clock games. NBC has nothing. You can't, I mean, I guess you got contracts that you can't break.
You would, and you also can't tell me that
Thursday?
The
ESPN?
NFL Network now.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, you can't.
I don't know who owns them.
They're their own entity. Yeah, and unless it's a local team, then you get it on your local station.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't do a thing with NBC or even ABC. And ESPN.
It's not like you're super helping out the economy, because Sunday's a drinking day because of football.
Exactly.
Monday's a drinking day because of football. Thursday, oh fuck, football. Yeah we're not going to tear it up tonight because tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah. I mean, and like, the only thing Thursday is a hassle to remember to fucking set your lineup.
Yeah, that is exactly right. That's the first day of the fantasy football
league. Yeah, like, do I want to play this guy? I mean, I guess. Now I got to change shit on Sunday in case he did shit.
Well, even if it's a good player, you don't want to play him on a Thursday, because if he plays bad, then you feel like your whole week's ruined already.
Yeah.
Even if he's good, you're like, the last thing I'll say, too, is we're not going to get into this. If you don't know this, if you didn't know this going into it, you should understand this, that the world, the financial world, or the target demographic is still white people. Look at the NBA's ratings.
Yeah.
All of the protesting and all of the stuff they did, which I'm 100% behind, gave them the record low. Golf, which is upper middle class sport, middle to upper middle, the highest ratings they've ever had.
Yeah.
While I agree with all the protest and what they all mean, I will say this. I think the average person, the guy that doesn't, you know, like the guy that's not extreme left or the guy that's extreme right, they've always
American.
Well, they've always used sports as their outlet, and they didn't want it thrown in their face. Not that it was thrown in their face, it's probably a bad term, but it just, we suffer from political fatigue in this country bad right
now.
We
do.
And but look at the ratings. I mean, that's just, and I got to tell you, I watched some games. It was probably the most captivating on-court.
Oh, yeah. The games were good.
They were amazing. And the Lakers deserved it.
Yeah, they really did.
And LeBron.
LeBron is the greatest of all time.
LeBron's, like, so age-wise, well, that's, God, that sucks to think about because I'm a Jordan guy. But LeBron's the only guy that deserves to be in the argument. And here's the thing, too. He's not old in terms of me and you.
Yeah. But he's old.
17 goddamn years in the league, man. Yeah. That's unbelievable. 17 years in the league. And I tell you this, I remember arguing with Carter over LeBron going into the league.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that doesn't seem like that long ago.
Size-wise, he outsizes. And like, a guy that big should not be able to move as well as he does. And he's just, his defense is as good as his off. It's ridiculous.
He's unbelievable. Both of the guys, I got to tell you this.
And his ability to build a team around him.
If I were building a team from scratch, I probably would take LeBron over Jordan because he does more things.
Yeah.
But if I was in Game 7 of the championship and I needed a last shot, I would take Jordan over LeBron.
It's a weird
argument.
It is a weird argument. But, I mean, I think the easier argument is you go well-rounded.
But if the best Bulls team ever faced the best LeBron team.
This was a Space Jam situation where the aliens were going to take over the world and you needed LeBron or Jordan in his prime off the bench, 5 seconds left in the clock. You're going Jordan.
Yeah, and if Jordan's best Bulls team played any of LeBron's best team, I would always bet on Jordan.
That's true, but the size is way different now.
No, the sizes aren't. In fact, the NBA's smaller now.
You think so?
Absolutely.
The guys in the 90s, maybe the shorts are just shorter.
No,
longer.
Look at the amount of 7-foot centers in the league compared to the Jordan era.
Okay.
It's the game moved away to that small ball and the 3-point shooting. Yeah. So that's, but the reason, but you think they're bigger because LeBron is the 6'9 or 6'7. And by the way, Jordan was 6'6, but LeBron also is built like a linebacker.
Yeah, he's fucking beast.
Which is a, you know, difference. I mean, there's guys that are more physical, but the play's not as physical as it was because you were allowed to push
him. No. Yeah, you were allowed to beat the shit out of each other.
It's weird. It's a weird argument, and it's one that, like ours earlier, probably not going to ever have a true
winner.
I mean,
that's like my favorite running back, Barry Sanders. I don't know if he'd survive in the league today. I mean, he's a spectacular running back. But
well, I think the NFL's different, though.
Do you?
The reason I do is because the reason I don't think he'd survive as much as he used to is because we don't run as much because there is bigger guys on the line.
Yep.
But speed and elusiveness and side to side,
like nobody can do it like
he did.
Is
always going to be effective. Warwick Dunn, they thought was going to be the next Barry, and then Reggie Bush, they thought was going to be.
It's Barry, injuries plague all those guys.
One of a kind athlete, Barry Sanders.
How he got through so many seasons without.
And he retired early.
Exactly.
He retired. He might be, and this would be a good Tom conversation. He might be the one guy. Him and Jim Brown. Well, Jim Brown doesn't count because he had the record when he retired. But Barry might be the one guy that had a record in his sight and walked away anyway.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess he saw the writing on the wall.
Well, I think, you know.
I mean, he still played 9 seasons.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
For a running back, it's over double their lifespan.
But I mean, like, how many seasons did Reggie Bush play before he got hurt?
Reggie ended up playing 3-4 seasons
before he got hurt.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, well, he got hurt late. But I mean, he played a fan. But also, the other thing was Reggie was, from the day he was drafted, there were some expectations. Never lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
Barry lived up to the hype from day one.
And
he played 9 years at the highest level.
The expectations probably weren't as high for Barry because there's no social media aspect to that. You know,
well,
like
social media wise, maybe not, but he was the best running back.
No, 100%. He's my favorite NFL player ever. I still root for the Lions strictly because he was on the team.
The one of the funniest stories I've ever heard about Barry involved college, and Barry went to Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State started senior varsity running back was Thurman Thomas when Barry was a sophomore. And Thurman Thomas would run for 150 yards, and they'd have the lead, and they'd take him out in the fourth quarter, and they'd put in the sophomore, Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
And the defenses were like, oh, great, we go to the second string running back. Oh, wait, he's better.
Yeah.
that's
insane.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I think we're pretty much
done. I think so.
Unless you have anything else to end on.
I mean, we could read anything good lately?
I don't know. No, I've been drawing so
much
lately.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dude,
you've been doing pretty good.
I've been drawing so much lately that I haven't read much.
I finished up the sequel to The White Knight.
Oh, that's what I did want to bring up. Okay, did you like the sequel to The White Knight?
I did.
I haven't read it yet. I need to read that.
I think it does a good job of building off the first one and making it a little bit better.
I did read the Chrononauts sequel.
Is there a sequel to that?
Yes. Okay. It's on Hoopla, too.
Okay, yeah. I'll read that.
I enjoyed it. And my only negative thing is the same thing I'll say about the original. It goes so fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's kind of what I liked about it.
I read it. I liked it. And an hour later, I'd forgotten all about it.
Yep.
So it's the ultimate fluff.
You should check out The White Knights. Sean Murphy's art is always great. Is Sean Murphy do the second one?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to probably... Oh, no, not the second Chrononauts, no.
He doesn't?
No.
Okay, well, it's already lost a star for me, but
I'm
okay.
Probably going to wait till after October, because this Jacktober thing has taken up every day.
Nah, I get it.
I'm going to... Spoiler alert, my picture I'm doing tomorrow is going to be a really quick sketch, and I'm going to be done with it. It's Mr. T, and the reason Mr. T's in it is because Jack Kirby did the animated series art for Mr. T's cartoon.
Barely remember that.
Yeah, it barely existed. So
I do remember like clips of it, but it feels like that TV Funhouse SNL feeling.
Yeah, it looked like that too.
Okay.
But some of them I've enjoyed way more than others. But so once it's done, I mean that's been taken away from work.
I
mean, it's a lot of work.
Your Hulk looked really good versus Warlock.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That way I had to rebound for my original war because somebody threw that on me at the middle of the day and I didn't have time. So I was like, I got to rebound on
it. If I'm being critical, your Warlock wasn't as good as your Hulk, but your Hulk was really good.
I got tired because that work put so much in the background and stuff. Warlock's face, I was like, fuck it.
Yeah. Like, I get it, man. Well, I don't. I'm not an artist.
Like, how many hours do I put into this goddamn
drawing?
Yeah,
I'm not going to.
All right, we're done. No Missy, no Tom, but you can.
Hold on to your butts. And I'm going to play.